I want you tonight to go to the scripture we were in this morning, 2 Kings chapter number 5. We're going to finish the chapters essentially tonight. Excuse me, 2 Kings chapter number 5. And I want to take a little different subject this evening as we look at the servant of Elisha by the name of Gehazi. And so if you have your Bible there, chapter number 5, 2 Kings, and I want to begin reading verse number 20, and we'll read down to the end of that chapter, verse number 20. maybe I better back up just a little bit here. To remind you, actually verse 19, to remind you of the story that we looked at this morning. Of course, we find the story of Naaman being told by the little maiden girl that there was a prophet in Israel that could bring healing to his body. And this little small boy spoke, and he went, and of course he heard, and he didn't want to do it because he was expecting some really thunderous things to take place. But he finally humbled himself and dipped himself in the river, came up, and we looked at that story this morning. And of course we find then that he wants to give an offering right away. Isn't that something? As soon as he gets saved, he's ready to give, and Elisha says no. There's a reason for that. We'll look at that in a little bit. And he sends him on his way. And notice verse number 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." By the way, did you know he brought nearly $1 million to give? When you go back and figure up the amount. And now he's asking for a small portion of this. And Naaman said, verse number 23, "Take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhither." And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and men maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you this evening. We've had the blessed privilege of this day. Lord, we thank you for those things you've allowed us to see and to hear and to participate in. Lord, we thank you today for just the privilege to know you, great God of all glory. We ask you tonight to just reach down, touch our hearts, do a work in our lives. Lord, we're needy. We realize that, and we ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. Well, as we go a little bit farther in this chapter, there's a couple of lessons I believe we can learn that have been shown to us, or as we've read from this particular section. One of those is do what God commands us, whether it is through His Word or through His men. God uses His Word, God uses His men to give to us the Word of God and to give to us direction. And the second thing that I believe that God would have us to learn is that covetousness will destroy us. Great desire for things, it will destroy us. By the way, it's not wrong to have things because God made all things. It's not wrong to possess because God puts it in possession. But it is wrong to desire what God doesn't want us to have. And to put our emphasis upon the things rather than upon the God who made them. It is to the latter of these things that we're going to direct our attention tonight as we look at the life of Gehazi. He was a servant of Elisha. Elisha, an interesting character in the Word of God. As we look at him, he asked God that he might have a double blessing from Elijah many years before. And in his succeeding him in this line of prophets, Gehazi likely to inherit this same proceeding, we find that Elisha actually was able to see twice as many miracles as Elijah. Of the 14 that are recorded concerning Elisha, we know that Gehazi was witness to at least two of those. One of those, the raising of the dead child of the Shunammite woman, and the healing of Naaman's leprosy. And perhaps he saw more of those. He had, as no other man, the opportunity to live beside one of the greatest figures to step across the pages of the Bible. When I think about Elijah and Elisha, it's absolutely amazing what God did in their lives and the time frame in which it all took place. And within his grasp, no doubt, was the privilege of becoming another great prophet for the Lord. But we look at something here and we see what could have been. How tragic is the outcome when we think about especially what God may have had in store for him. I ask the question tonight, what caused his life to spiral into such destruction? What was it that took place that brought this man down to the spot where we find in verse number 27 that the leprosy of Naaman now clave to him, and he goes out as a leper, never to be whole again. What caused that? Well, as we look in the Word of God, I believe there's three or four things that we can kind of, sink our teeth into and think about tonight, and perhaps we could just make some application in our own life. As I look and I see in the very first verse that we read tonight, it's interesting to me. Let's look at it again. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." Naaman is generous to this man, and yet we find that this man Gehazi, if I look at this correctly, he thought he knew better than the man of God. He thought he knew better than the one that God had placed his hand upon and had done wondrous things through. Whether it be covetousness or jealousy that comes into our mind, it warps our thinking. And as a result of that, we find ourselves going in directions we ought never to go. It's interesting that when we oppose those whom God has anointed, God does not bless. It's interesting, the Word of God, he talks about elders, and as against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And how we need to be very careful with those that God has put in those positions. He thought he knew better than the man of God. We find as a result of that, he lied to Naaman. Covetousness will allow a man to commit sins that he might not otherwise ever commit. I want you to think about this. In the Word of God, we read that the love of money is the root of all evil. Is that not true? Now, God's Word is true. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Covetousness, the love of money, is the root of all evil. It brings us from that position to where we are ready to do other things in order to gain it. Lying goes against the very grain of God's greatest attribute, and that is that God is holy. God is truth. And yet we find that this man, because of covetousness, was willing to lie. And he goes to this man named Naaman, and he says, "My master has sent me." When he's confronted by his master Elisha, and says, "Where did you go?" And he says, "I didn't go anywhere." He was willing to lie. Lying, by the way, is from the devil himself. The Bible says he's the father of lies. And we find that he was willing to go in that direction. What was the problem? Well, first of all, he thought he knew better than the man of God. He thought, "Hey, listen, we've let this guy go. And we ought not have let him go." Perhaps he was looking at the fact that, as most who are in ministry, there was some needs. And here was a man willing to meet those needs. And what he did was violate a lesson that Elisha was trying to teach to Naaman. And that lesson is very simply that God's goodness to you and I is by grace. Salvation is by grace. You and I, we don't get saved any other way. And he wanted to demonstrate to him that it was not his gifts that caused him to get clean from his leprosy. It was not his riches. It was not his personality. It was simply by the grace of God. And so as he goes to this man and asks for the money that he had brought, he is breaking a tremendous thing in the life of Naaman. And then we find that he miscalculated the discernment of God's man. Isn't it interesting? When we were growing up as kids, that mom and dad, we'd look at them, and how did they know some of the things they knew? It was interesting that my mother seemed to be everywhere I was at. She had a discernment, and it was like we didn't have, you know, cell phones. We didn't have movie cameras. We had the old brownies with a flash, you know what I mean? And you had to put a new one in and take it out, and it'd take you forever. And it was like mom knew all these things that was going on. She had a discernment. Why is that? God puts that in parents. And kids, sometimes you think, man, I'm getting away with it. Mom and dad don't understand me. I'm of a new generation. And they know more than you think. God does that. And here's a man that miscalculated the discernment of God's man. And when God puts you in different positions, God gives you the ability to handle those things. And so there was a special gift of discernment to him. And he knew what was going on. Matter of fact, Elisha said, "Did not my heart go with you?" And he describes the trip. How did he know that? God gave him a special discernment. It would do well when people would be willing to listen to those who have spirituality in their lives rather than thinking they know it all themselves. Let me say to our young people and young adults as well, and really to all of us, we need to learn that there are folks who have some discernment, and we ought to be willing to listen. But he thought he knew it all and didn't realize that which was there. And what do we find as a result of the whole thing? He lost the blessing. What could have been? What could have been? We had Elisha, 7 miracles at his hand. We have Elisha. He said, "Let a double portion fall upon me." And Elijah said, "If you see me when I depart, it'll be yours." You read them, you count them. He had twice as many. God blessed in his ministry. Gehazi is his servant. Gehazi, it seems to be, in that position, is learning the ropes. He's in that spot where now he can be the one like Elisha some years before at the feet of Elijah. Can step into that prophet's office. But he thought he knew better. He miscalculated the discernment of God's man. And we find that the blessing was gone. And the worst emblem of sin that ever come upon a human body, that of leprosy, clave to his body. Leprosy to this very day has no cure. the best cure for leprosy is not to get it. To have cleanliness about you and to stay away from that which has it. We need to understand something today. There's a line which we better never cross. Gehazi stepped across it. And as a result, the blessing was gone. I look back at the nation of Israel. What a blessed nation that was as they came out under Moses. Moses, the meekest man that ever walked the earth. One that God had put in leadership and did not have a big head about it. And he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And they cross over the Red Sea. What a magnificent delivery God gave. They go down to the Mount Sinai. And there Moses goes up with God. And God gives him the Ten Commandments. And the people have the law of God. They get to a place called Kadesh Barnea. They send spies into the land. You know the story. There were 12 of them, one from each tribe, and those spies went in. They saw everything that was in the land. They were to go and to see the lay of the land, to get an idea of the whole thing. They were to go that they might bring back the news that, hey, listen, this is a great land. And it was really for them to come back and to tell the other folks, you know, by God's grace, we have wonderful blessings awaiting. But you know the story. 10 of them came back and said, there are giants there. There was. They got chariots of iron. They did. Not all of them, but some. And they listened to the 10. And they said, no, we can't do it. You know what God said? You're going to die in the wilderness. They said, we can't go in. Our children, they'll be destroyed by them. And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out in the wilderness. And for the next 38 years, you're going to wander and die. And these kids that you're worried about, they're going to go in. And that's exactly what took place. And many times we have found in the lives of people throughout the ages, God's people, that they've come to a place like Kadesh Barnea, and it was a place where they had to step out by faith and just believe God. Instead, they looked at the surroundings and did not do it. And walked by sight rather than by faith. Ananias and Sapphira, they got saved. They were under the ministry of Peter. They were in the first church there at Jerusalem. The Word of God is preached and they've come to know Him. And they're seeing God do some wonderful things. They saw men like Barnabas go and sell everything he had and bring it and give it. And I'm sure they also saw, as people were just kind of awestruck by what Barnabas and others were willing to do. And they thought up a scheme. They were going to do the same thing. And people would have adulation for them and people would think of them as wonderful people. But there was something inside of them. They had a covetousness. And they came and brought some of the sale of their properties, but they hid the rest. They did not realize, again, the discernment of God's man. And God had revealed that to Peter. And as a result, we find that both of them fall down dead. I've wondered sometimes what would happen to God's people today if we had to be carting them out and taking them to the funeral home because they didn't give what they said they were given. I remember years ago, there was a man that came to our church very faithfully. Every Sunday, you see a big old offering envelope in his pocket. Every Sunday, he'd stop and get an offering envelope and put it in his pocket and walk around. Offering came. The envelope came out, went into the offering basket. It never had a dime in it. He never gave a thing, but wanted people to think so. I could tell you the rest of the story. But it's amazing as we look at this situation, losing the blessings that are there for us. What was the problem? Yeah, he thought he knew more than the man of God. He had pride about him. As a result of that pride and as a result of that arrogance, he goes to lying. Because he has really down inside of him a covetous heart. It might not necessarily be that he wants money, but sometimes individuals, they go to these lengths because they just want attention. They want power. They want whatever it is. Sometimes they just want praise. They want popularity. And they do not understand the discernment that sometimes God gives. And what they lose, the blessing that is gone. Those men at Kadesh Barnea never had a second chance. Ananias and Sapphira didn't come back from the dead to get a second chance. And they lost the blessing. You know, God has blessings for us. God has wondrous things for you and for me. But we must be very, very cautious that we want it for the glory of God and not for any selfish reason. We must be very cautious, or we may find ourselves losing the blessing, never to ever be able to recover it. Sad scenario. But let's look back at Naaman, the man who went on home with the leprosy, having been gone now. A man who had seen God hand work in his life. What a blessing that is. Amen. Praise God for that. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. Yeah. Keep our eyes looking up towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we're at a season of time. We call it Christmas. I don't know when Christ was born. I've looked and I've seen. I can take things and I can look. And it looks like it might have been close to winter. Maybe around this time. I don't know. I saw one of the best articles I'd ever saw on the subject. A man who had studied immensely. And he narrowed it down to a specific day. Caught my attention because it was my birthday. I don't know when it was. It doesn't matter. Jesus came. Amen. And it ought to be a celebration in our hearts at all times. Well, it's kind of tradition in our nation. We celebrate that. And I realize that, you know, there's the other side and there's all those things that are there. I understand that. But do you know something? God made the day that we call Halloween. Some people say, well, that's the devil's holiday. God made October 31st. It's still His day. Amen? Yeah. God made April 2nd, and God made May 14th. God made all these days. And the devil tries to distract from all of those things. But let's remember it's God's day. Amen? And we celebrate Him. Amen? And our emphasis upon Him. Don't allow the stuff of Christmas, by the way, to destroy. Amen? Yeah. Don't allow that to happen. Keep your eyes on the prize. Well, hey, it's been a good day today. It's an exciting time of the year. Be in prayer, by the way, for a number of your brethren. We've got some really sick folks amongst us. Well, they're not amongst us tonight. They're homesick. But keep them in prayer. And pray for each other. opportunities you have and families, and some you're going to see some folks this week that perhaps you don't see very often, and you can talk to them about the Lord. If much of your family's saved, I mean, you can discuss some things of God. We were sitting in the living room earlier, and some little thing happened. We just began to talk about that a little bit, and those things are just neat. And to consider the Lord, amen. What a wondrous blessing it is. Let Him be in that position of your life this week. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much tonight for Your Word. Thank You for this great story that teaches us that those who are seemingly insignificant can be used in such wondrous way as this little maiden. Lord, as we think about the prophet Micah, who was really insignificant, that You allowed him to tell these wise men where Jesus was to be born. It baffles our thinking. It reminds us of Your greatness. But Lord, also it teaches us that You want to use us. That You want to use each and every person in this room. Sometimes, Lord, and I know this from my own experience, we just don't think that we have those capabilities. But it's not our ability that counts. It's what we allow You to do in us and through us. Bless us, O God. Give us a belief and a heart and a faith. Help us go forward for You. And Lord Jesus, may You be glorified and magnified in each of our hearts and lives throughout the rest of this day and this week. And have Your hand upon us. We love You and thank You for these times and moments together. In Christ's name, amen and amen. I want you to stand tonight and turn around where you're at. We're going to do a little bit differently. And just tell somebody how much you appreciate them. Let them know that. Amen. Let them know that. That's a beautiful sight when you look and see people doing that. That's good. Amen.
Hey, who's